Well, it's a very good morning to everyone. When I came today, Barb and Boy were practicing the singing, and as lovely as they were, a thought occurred to me: maybe we need a bit more volume. All right. Now, I can offer volume. Not too sure I can offer the tunefulness that is necessary for singing. But I got up and, yes, gave it a go. Let me encourage others. If you feel like singing, out loud, you can certainly please do so. But come out, right, and sing with us or whoever else will be singing on that day, right? It's great. It's uplifting, right, to be able to do that. A word of encouragement. The clam. Were you here last week? Did you hear about the clam? Now, Greg, who spoke last week, has this giftedness of leaving practical things that stick in the mind. I think it was about 2 years ago you told us about the homemade plane and saw set and things like that. That stuck in my mind. The clam stuck in my mind from last week. Can you recall what the clam was all about? More particularly, the giant clam. Don't get stuck. Exactly. The giant clam, which I never knew, starts off very small, don't we all, right? But over a relatively short period of time, matures and grows and does remarkable things, only to then spend the next, I can't remember, 100 years just floating in the tide, doing very little. The point being, right, as Christians, our spiritual growth mightn't have to be linear, but has to be ongoing. As we grow in Christ and we make mistakes and we take a few steps back perhaps, but our growth must continue our whole life. As opposed to the old clam who does a big burst. Someone mentioned to me, I think it's a bit unfair on the clam. I think it is a bit unfair on the clam. Because what it did in those couple of years, it was remarkable. And maybe it was still doing things, but who knows what a clam does in those 100 years other than eat. Right. That was last week. Kay has explained that for the next 4 weeks, we'll be touching on what the elders call values for 2024. These values can apply and should apply at any time. But in this year, we're wanting to emphasise in our teaching and in ministry and prayer, etc., four values. The first, authenticity. The second, connection. The third, storytelling. The fourth, moving forward. And over the next 4 weeks, as Kay has mentioned, four elders will be teaching on each of those 4 points. Authenticity comes first, but really there is no rhyme and reason, in a sense, in the order. Though storytelling without authenticity doesn't make sense. So authenticity, perhaps, if you think about it, is a logical first step in establishing all the values that we'll be touching on. What is authenticity? Well, we can give a dictionary explanation. This is a secular, this is not Christian authenticity. It starts off with genuine. Being actually and exactly, not necessarily exactly, but actually what is claimed. Authentic implies being fully trustworthy as according with fact. An authentic account of the perilous journey. It can stress painstaking or faithful imitation of an original. The Bible calls for us all to be authentic in our Christian faith. Right from the start, right at the point of submitting ourselves, giving our lives to Jesus Christ. And how does authentic Christians look? How does authentic Christians affect other people? I've asked three people to come out and give very short accounts of people that were particularly important in their early Christian lives. And the people I've asked is Ross, and I'll ask Ross to come out. This is in no particular order. Then Sue, who will follow Ross, and then Warwick, who will be the last of the three. Now, Ross coming out comes with a special issues because he's actually doing the sound. So, oh, sorry. Yes, the sound is working. An old joke, but in my belief, a good joke. Thank you, Ross. And I'll ask Sue immediately to follow Ross and then Warwick to immediately follow.
So what was the question again?
Ross, I've asked the important person in your life that has, right from the start, taught you in your Christian experience.
Right from the start?
Well,
for me, there's probably two. First one is a lovely lady who's out the back at the moment called Natalie. When I met Natalie, she was using... Well, so the two people I've chosen actually are two people who I would generally use the word authentic in their faith with God. Natalie, to me, is very authentic. She will actually say she has a very childlike faith, but to me, she has a very, very deep faith. It is unwavering and very dedicated to God. And to me, as a new Christian, that really inspired me to find out what it was that she had in her life that I didn't. So early on, that was by far the most impactful, really. The second one was a pastor that we had when we were living outside of Victoria. His name was Michael, and he actually became part of our home group as well. And Mike was authentic as well. So whilst he was an exceptional pastor, he really, really was an exceptional pastor, very godly man, but in our home group, that was his safe space, and he shared all the same sort of things that we were going through. Issues with your kids, issues with your marriage, issues with your mortgage and all that sort of stuff. He was genuinely authentic in living everyday life. And it was actually really encouraging to see that, you know, he was a man who was very knowledgeable in the Word, dedicated pastor, great leader of a church, but struggled with everyday life like the rest of us do. And to me, that was actually really quite encouraging that he was willing to share that and show that he was, sometimes we put pastors up on a pedestal, you know, and they come across as being, or they try to come across as being perfect. And to see one that wasn't, but was still trying to be, you know, was actually really, really encouraging for me as a Christian. Anyway.
Thank you, Ross.
Yeah. Thanks, Sue.
Morning, everyone. The person that I want to share about is my dad. Now, and I've got a couple of stories just to paint the picture of the kind of man my dad was. One of the things that I really appreciated about my dad and really was pivotal in informing my Christian faith was his ability to be vulnerable. Now, as a father, head of the household, to be vulnerable with a young child was something that really captured my attention. When he saw aspects of my character that needed reformation or shaping, I was occasionally naughty, just once or twice. Instead of being heavy-handed, he came alongside me and he shared stories from his own life of the struggles that he had faced that were similar. And then he shared with me about how he'd approached God with those things and how God had helped to shape him, and that was something that I could do also. And one of the things I really appreciate about him is I do not have one recollection of my childhood where he disciplined me that I didn't leave that feeling loved. And that's pretty remarkable, I think, as a child. And the second thing was, as the pressures of life with four growing children taking up a lot of his money, when there were pressures, financial pressures on our family, he was very open in saying to us, oh, you know, praying about these things and then sharing with us how God had answered those prayers. Every time there wasn't enough money to pay all the bills, he'd pray. And miraculously, another shift would be offered to him at work, and there would be, at times, exactly the amount that was required to the dollar. Not a cent more, but just the fact that he was open and vulnerable with us, and the fact that his first action, whenever there was a time of challenge or difficulty, was to turn to God. And that was something that set an example for me that I have tried to carry on in my own life. Thanks.
This is going to be hard because when Phil mentioned it to me, I thought, well, there's a lot of people I could think of that were sort of mentors to me and showed their authenticity to me. And so I'll try and keep this under 30 minutes. But first of all, I think the older I get, the more important authenticity is to me in work, home, and faith. It's so important that... I'm not a fan of pretense. That sort of thing really turns me off, and that's something that's just so prevalent in society today. You can make truth whatever you like, but I like to have something that is really quite authentic and true and genuine. So I guess there's a number of different groups here, but maybe I was a hard case, but I needed a lot of people to help me in my Christian life, and perhaps still do. But I think it started off with all the my aunties and uncles that gave me showed a lot of love in my life and my Christian faith, and I'll move on quickly from there as well. But it wasn't just the teaching of Christian principles at that time; it was just simply doing life with me as a youngster, and then I guess moving on from there. I'm trying to move through quickly here so I can get through a few different people. But I mean, there's people that I'm sure in your own life that you think, well. They provided a great moment in my own Christian life, and I guess my Sunday school teachers were invaluable to me. I mean, what's going on out the back here is critical for those kids as far as I'm concerned. Three different people, mainly from the Ashwood Gospel Chapel, from the Brethren, of course, so it was all okay. But Bob Griffiths was one of them. And he was a great, humble man and taught very well at my level and took his Sunday school teachers away, and that's where I first learnt where to go sailing. So he showed me life, he showed me things that were enjoyable in life as well, and taught very well. Another person was Con Mariculus, from the same church, very humble Greek guy. Who ran a fish and chip shop back in those days. And Con's thing was food. Being a Greek person, it was food. My goodness, we saw a lot of that in some four-wheel drive trips. But it was just the humble, looking in your eye moment where he could teach things, and it really had a profound effect on me. Another one was Reg Pierce, who was a very sporty sort of person. And he was involved in the EBR, the youth club sort of thing that we used to run here. I'm not sure where that's gone nowadays, but we can think of a number of people in this church who are involved in that as well. And I guess as I was thinking of that as well, there was, and fast forward to this stage in life, I can think of a number of other people who really showed authenticity in their Christian life. And I think we'd applaud the prices as they've moved on. The people that two different couples had such a profound effect on my life. They taught in a very simple way and lived it out. And finally, it was my parents that were so important to me. From my mum led me to the Lord, and it was just the simple teaching. So mothers out there right now, you are crucial in what you can do with your kids. Of course, Dad was important in there as well, but Dad was often away, like a lot of men. But that was the real world for me, and just really praise God for those people in my life. It's often the simple people Well, that's wrong words. It's often the people that perhaps the unassuming people that have a profound effect on your life as well. It's not necessarily the people up the front here. It's often other people. I can think of people in this room right now who still have quite a profound effect on me, and I thank them. I think they know who they are. But thank you. Oh, finally, I think maybe we should applaud the Phil Adams Trio. That maybe this is something that we'll have for the future. Phil, you've got any aspirations for that?
Certainly not, Warwick. Warwick, I'm doing the preaching, right? When I asked Sue and Warwick and Ross to come up here, I didn't use the word authentic. I just wanted them, and thank you for all three for doing so. Tell me about people that have had an impact in their lives, essentially. Because that's what an authentic Christian is, fundamentally. If you want a definition of an authentic Christian, we can talk about a person perhaps who preaches beautifully, who gives heaps of money, who looks like a very fine Christian. But those people, if it's not from the heart, do not have an impact. We've heard about, maybe a dozen of people today that have had an impact on the lives of three people, particularly a spiritual impact. And that impact comes because the person is authentic, true to what he or she believes. You think in your own life, and those listening online, think in your own lives, who have been an influence, a positive influence, on your Christian upbringing. And coming to mind possibly will be parents. Coming to mind possibly will be unassuming people. But all, I'm certain, will have one characteristic, and that is they are authentic. What does authenticity mean in the Christian dimension or way of thinking? I've listed four things here. There's probably many more and many ways to express these things in difference. But I've listed the four things as follows. An authentic Christian, one who has impact on others, has the right understanding of who God is. An authentic Christian is in a relationship with God, and that relationship is not driven by rules, regulations, and practices. That relationship is entirely personal. And here's an odd-looking third point, but it's very true. An authentic Christian always seeks to nurture relationships. First and foremost, the relationship with God and him or herself. Then the relationship between themselves and other Christians. And finally, the relationship between themselves and all people, Christian or otherwise. Impactful Christians, authentic Christians, are always about relationships. Is an authentic Christian, that person be a loner? Someone who is much more comfortable with themselves? Of course there can be. Because they have a very key relationship that they are maintaining, and that's the relationship between themselves and God. And in doing so, they will have an impact on others as well. And finally, and I think, who mentioned they're not perfect? I can't remember. Warwick might have mentioned that some of the authentic Christians are not perfect. And that's an important thing to keep in mind. Authenticity and perfection are different things. So very quickly, and it will have to be very quick, I hadn't realised the time had gone on. What is the right understanding of God? Well, you have to understand at the start that God is not some sort of angry deity waiting to punish evildoers. God is not some sort of cosmic scorekeeper at a cricket game, keeping a summary of pluses and minuses of individuals. And God is not impersonal. An authentic Christian recognises that God wants to know themselves personally. So God can love and guide, so we can grow in Him and together live a life to its fullness, both now and here on earth and thereafter in heaven. So we have to understand, to be authentic, who God is. We have to be in as John 3 verse 1, 1 John 3 1 says, we have to be in a child-adult relationship with God, respecting, loving, and being willing to be taught and guided as authentic Christians. A relationship is not driven by rules. The Christian life is not about practice. It's about living with God. Of a verse from Philippians, or verses from Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7 through to 11 say the following, but whatever were gains to me, this is Paul talking, and he's talking about rules and regulations, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, whatever I used to do when I was a really legalistic Jewish person, I now consider loss for the sake of one thing, knowledge of Jesus Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of the resurrection and participation in the sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This is all about not rules or regulation, but knowing Christ in a relationship. An authentic Christian has positive impacts on other people. An authentic Christian knows that the God he or she serves is not a God of formality, is not some sort of deity scorekeeping, but is a God that wants a relationship with them. And our life, the life of an authentic Christian that we're wanting to emphasise through this year, should not be about the rules and regulations. It's about a relationship. Now, I'm not going to have time. Time has gone on. If you want to know more about the nurtured relationships that... taken by the music. The nurtured relationships that characterise a authentic Christian, go no further than one chapter in Romans. Stare at Romans chapter 12 for the rest of this week. Romans chapter 12 is all about relationships. It begins with your relationship with God. Set aside your life. Be a living sacrifice in your faith with God. Then it goes to the relationship with other Christians. Always be truthful. Then finishes with verses about your relationship with others, and it stresses the word love. If you want to be an authentic Christian, if you want to have an impact on others, recognize who God really is. That it's not about practice or rules and regulations, but it's about relationships between yourself and God foremost, between yourself and other Christians, and then between yourself and the rest of the world. And characterising that relationship is always love. That's what you'll read as you go through the 20 or so verses of Romans 12, which I plead that you do at the start of this 4-week series on values for 2024. The last characteristic of an authentic Christian that I listed before was that they are not perfect. Right? So when you go back in your mind and think of those people who've had an impact, those truly authentic Christians, you may or may not recognise faults in those people. There will be faults. That's undeniable. They might not have been obvious to you. But what we're searching for ourselves, what as elders we are praying for the church, and what we pray will be your aim in terms of authenticity, is not perfection. We understand, we know, others know, that there is no perfection in this world. We learn, we make mistakes. Maybe we make those mistakes over and regular. That's not what authentic Christianity, that's not going to define our authentic Christianity. What defines our authentic Christianity when making mistakes is humble confession to God. And the confession is along the lines, God, I want to be true to my faith. I want to be true to my relationship with you, but I've failed. Forgive me. Help me through your strength and in your Holy Spirit not to make that mistake again. Help me to grow in my life. That's what authentic Christians do when they make mistakes, and they do make mistakes. I'm going to pray and then possibly sing again. Oh, joy. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, particularly expressed by Paul in his letter to Romans, about how you want us to live as authentic Christians. Help us to recognise it's not about rules, it's not about serving a God that is holding fast to certain things. It's about a relationship first and foremost with you. Help us to understand that. Help us to aspire to make an impact on others, knowing that impact only can come from an authentic Christian life. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.